Been going through this series, just working through the book of Philippians, and we're almost through this sunny little letter. It's a letter that, as you know, is full of optimism. It's very upbeat, very positive, in spite of the circumstances that Paul was writing from. And part of the reason why I think it's so upbeat is because of the special relationship that Paul had with the Philippian believers. And a good reason, or a big part of the reason he wrote this letter, was to thank them for the gift that they had sent him through Epaphroditus. And so as we come towards the end of the letter, he expresses his thanksgiving. So in chapter 4, we're reading here from verse 10. And Paul says, "I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church stood with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me and aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts, but what I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." So Paul thanks them for the gift that they've sent, and he finishes off his expressions of thanksgiving and appreciation with this amazing promise. It's one of the probably the best known promises in the Bible about, you know, how God will supply all our needs through Christ Jesus. But of course it begs the question, if that's true, then why do people still have needs? Why do Christians still have needs that God doesn't seem to have met? And that is a question that we can ask. And of course, what we need to do is we need to kind of always read things in their context whenever we're reading the Bible. Someone said if you take the text out of its context, you're left with a con. And so, you know, we don't want that. So we need to understand that although we have this amazing promise that there is a context, there are conditions. It doesn't apply to every person. It doesn't apply to every situation. And as someone said, for every promise there is in the Bible, there is also a premise. And so if you fulfill the conditions, then the promise is available to you. And so when we look at the context is the generosity and the sacrificial giving of the Philippian believers. And he says, because you have been generous, then God will look after your needs. And that's really a promise that we find throughout the scriptures. For example, in Proverbs chapter 11, we read that a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And of course, Jesus says in Luke chapter 6 that give and it will be given to you. Good measure. You know, shaken together, pressed down, will be, you know, poured out into your lap. And so in our generosity to others, God promises that he will look after our needs. So there's both a premise and a promise. So we just need to understand that the premise is that we are generous, giving people. And that's what he calls us to here. And what we need to understand, he says here there's three good reasons why we should give. Number one, he says, it's an encouragement to other people. And this is what he says. He says, "It was good of you to share in my troubles. As you know, in the early days, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. So they had been supporting Paul throughout his ministry, and that had been a wonderful support and encouragement to him. You know that whenever we give to missionaries, whenever we give to certain services that are happening, then in a sense we're partnering with them in supporting them financially. We are actually sharing with them in their ministry. We are partnering with them. And that's a wonderful encouragement. Have you ever given a gift that was an encouragement to someone? Have you ever received a gift that was an encouragement to you? I'm sure you have. So as we give, we are able to bless other people. We're able to encourage them. And so Paul says, you know, that your gift was a wonderful encouragement. He said, look, I was content. I had more than enough, you know, without it. But the fact that you are there supporting me, sponsoring me, caring for me, looking out for me, giving to me, that is a wonderful encouragement. So that's in our giving, we bless others. We encourage them. Secondly, our giving not only encourages others, but it's an investment into our own future. And what Paul says, he says, though I appreciate your gifts, what makes me happiest is the well-earned reward you will have because of your kindness. And so Paul says, look, in your giving you blessed me, but what I'm even more pleased and excited about is the reward that you will receive in your giving. And that's always the case. In the Bible it talks about, you know, that when we give, we're actually not... To give is not to have less. To give is to gain more. To give is actually an investment. Remember once Jesus said to his disciples that anyone who's given, you know, houses, lands, material possessions for the sake of the kingdom will receive 100 times as much. So whenever you give... Whenever you give, not just financially, whenever you give, you know, even a cup of water, Jesus says, whenever you give financially, whenever you give of your time, whenever you give of your effort and invest yourself in the things of God's kingdom, it is always recorded and rewarded. There is an investment into your own future. And so Jesus says, look, we can be working and doing things in this world in a way that we get reward here and now, like he said to, you know, the Pharisees, when you pray just to look good and to get the admiration of other people, you've already received your reward in full. You know, you're getting what you wanted to benefit from it right here and now, but there's no future reward. However, if you're giving of yourself to invest into others and into the kingdom of God, then God sees and he rewards in the future, in the kingdom to come. And so when we give, we bless others. When we give, we also invest into our eternal future. And that's part of the deal. Jesus says, you know, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, you know, that don't, where there's no moth and rust and it won't be destroyed, it won't be taken away. And so we are blessed in our own giving in terms of our investment into the future. And then finally, he says that our giving is also pleasing to God. He says, I'm supplied amply now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you've sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And so when we give, then we are also pleasing God, because our giving expresses faith. Our giving is an expression of love. God loved the world so much, he gave his only begotten son. And our giving is also not just, you know, it's a step of faith, it's also love. It's also a demonstration that we have something of God's heart. You know, the reason that God is so pleased with a generous giver is because it reflects his own heart. And also, it's a demonstration. It's a reflection of the attitude of Jesus. A couple of chapters before, earlier on in the letter, Paul says that Jesus, you know, spent himself without limits, that he gave himself even to death on a cross. He totally gave everything he had for our sake. So in our generous and sacrificial giving to others, we reflect that attitude. And it's pleasing to God. He says they're a fragrant offering. They're an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. So there are amazing good reasons why we give generously, sacrificially. And then the promise is that he will supply my needs. He will supply all our needs. It says, my God will supply all your needs. So it's our loving Heavenly Father who will supply our needs and look after us. That's an amazing promise. That's amazing. You know, we pray to our Heavenly Father for our daily bread. And Jesus says that God already knows our needs even before we ask him. God has determined that he will care for us in our living for him. It's amazing when I remember holding, you know, it's amazing. I talk to most guys, and one of the defining moments in their life has been when they've held their first child. For some reason, that impacts very powerfully. And I remember it impacted me very powerfully when our first son, Stephen, was born. And here I was, you know, holding this little bundle in my arms. And two things came to mind. Number one was the amazing love that I immediately had for this little baby. But the second thing was this incredible sense of responsibility, you know, that I now have to look after and care for this little one. I couldn't just kind of, you know, be irresponsible anymore. Not that I was necessarily all that irresponsible before, but it was just, you know, another sense of responsibility and a deeper sense of responsibility that I felt. And, you know, God has said to us, I will take responsibility for your welfare. I will care for my children. And so it is our God who has promised to supply all our needs. Notice the scope, that it's all of our needs. Now, there needs to be some riders on this. There are some things that this promise doesn't include. It doesn't include laziness. It's not like we say, okay, well, if God's going to supply all my needs, I don't have to do anything. I can just sit back and just receive. You know, that's not the case. Even though God is a caring and loving and responsible parent, he's not an indulgent parent. He's not going to do for us what we need to do for ourselves. And the Bible says very clearly that, you know, as Paul writes to the Thessalonians, you know, if a person will not work, they should not eat. It doesn't say they cannot work, but they will not work. They refuse to work, then that person should not, you know, receive to get anything either. So it's not saying here that you can just sit back and let God do it all. It's not about laziness, and it's not about selfishness. You know, it's not about that God will supply all my greeds, but rather all my needs. And there's a big difference between what we need and what we feel we want, or what we want and what we really need. And sometimes the very things that we need are not necessarily the things we want. There's a big difference between the two. And, you know, sometimes I remember saying to my kids, you know, they'd say, oh, I need this or I need that. And I said, no, you may want it, but you don't actually need it, okay? And some of the things that we may not want in life are the very things we need. And sometimes even tough times are not welcome, but ultimately are very helpful and needful for our own growth and development. So it's not talking here about laziness or selfishness, but it is talking here about God's promise to meet our needs based on our willingness to be generous and giving to others. And so as we give, we receive. And this is an amazing, I guess, promise right at the end. And it's about the promise of the harvest, which Paul talks about in his letter to the Corinthians. He says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one should give whatever he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under pressure. God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you may abound in every good work. Once again, that promise that, you know, it's a bit like sowing seed. As we sow, as we give, then we receive in abundance back. And not just financially, but spiritually and emotionally. And on this Mother's Day, this is a lesson that we gain, not just from the scriptures and from what Paul writes, it's a lesson I think we gain from our own mothers. We can often see in their lives the example of those who give sacrificially, generously. They just keep on giving. And how that blesses us and how that pleases God and how that invests into the future of the lives of their kids and their families. This is the principle that we see not just in the Bible but in the lives of our mothers. You know, lives of self-giving, sacrifice, generously, lovingly, investing into others, and in that process, being blessed themselves. And that's the wonderful principle. It's an invitation for each one of us to enter into joyful, generous living and giving. Because there's a big link between joy and generosity, just as there is a big link between being miserly and miserable, okay? And we get to choose. It's about living and giving generously and receiving joyously. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we see here a principle that in our giving we receive. It's much more blessed to give than receive, Jesus said. And Lord, in our generosity, there is joy. We thank you, Lord, that when we give, everyone wins. Others are blessed. We are blessed. You are pleased. Your kingdom is enriched. Thank you, Lord, the generosity of life and giving is a principle that imparts such blessing, such joy and delight to all. So, Lord, change our hearts to become more and more like yours. Help us to become more joyful givers, we pray through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our guys are going to close it out. Thanks, guys.
Turn it down. Could you turn it back up, please? Joe is going to take us on a spiritual journey. Put your seatbelts on. For the mothers.
When I am down and all my soul is so weary, troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still waiting in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to the more than I can be. Raise me up to more. You raise me up the more.